Hello, sorry, and welcome to the Free Food and Medicine Podcast. Long story short, we started out with our podcast called the DD&D Podcast at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Mostly it was just a play on words for DD&D was for David, for our off-grid organic farm and retreat. And we kind of got away from that. It ended up becoming political. And so we ended up doing a spinoff called Scrap Gov Scrap. So we have our Scrap Gov Scrap podcast. And we tried... Wait, what? What is this? Sorry, I'm playing my game. There's a new addition to the game that's weird. Anyways, I guess my tribe mates are expanding our castle or something. I'll have to take a look at this. Anyways, I made it to my destination, so I can log this character out for now. Yeah, so our DD&D podcast started becoming more of a gamer podcast because we got into gaming not long after we started talking about, not long after we started the podcast. And since Demented Dungeons & Dragons sounds like a gaming podcast, we started talking about that. But we wanted to get away from that and get back to what we were originally wanting to talk about. And that was getting off the grid, growing your own food and medicine, producing your own utilities, so on and so forth. Well, in the midst of all that, we discovered Marcus Rothkranz and his book, Free Food and Medicine. It's called the Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. I'm congested because I ate a pretzel, one of those soft pretzels, and now I'm all congested. I guess there was something in that pretzel I wasn't supposed to eat or something. I don't know. Anyhow, hey, here's hemlock. No, this ain't hemlock. Umbrella flowers is what it's talking about. But hemlock is also in the carrot. Oh, here's the dangerous ones. And that would be hemlock. It looks pretty much the same, but a little bit different. So I started doing videos. And I started calling it, actually, I wasn't calling it Free Food and Medicine. I was calling it Foraging and Exploring Videos. And I was putting them on YouTube, but then YouTube shut down my account because of that and because of my political stuff. They shut me down a year before they shut down Alex Jones. Almost exactly 1 year. They shut me down August of 2017, and shut Alex Jones down August of 2018. Here we are, 2019. But anyhow, so I bought freefoodandmedicine.net, redirected it to Marcus Rothkranz's website at freefoodandmedicine.com. I got an affiliate link. I also bought freefoodandmedicine.org. And was planning on doing I tried to do a social network with it. It didn't go anywhere. So now I'm kind of revamping that and making a blog and a podcast and my own YouTube video site there as well. So, and all of that, and we also have a Discord. So all of that is centered around free food and medicine, God's medicine. And hello and welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what time is it? Oh, it's 10 o'clock. All right, let's call Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
We'll do our 30-minute Blog Talk Radio, and then we'll continue the talk here. Right now, I'm going to be posting it at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. But I'm also going to be posting it at FreeFoodAndMedicine.org. So stay tuned for that. I'm working on getting that set up as we speak. So here we go.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
How did you guess?
Actually, I was doing a prequel for our new advertising spot. I didn't know you going to be on here.
Well, go for it.
I didn't know you was going to be on here. So this is like just an advertisement. Then we'll hang up and do our regular scheduled podcast.
Sounds good to me. Let's do this thing.
Let's do this thing! All right, so how do they do it in the movies? Ready, take 147, click, or something like that. Anyway, okay. Hello, and welcome to the Manic Monday podcast.
I thought this was the advertisement.
I know. I kind of screwed up because I'm like
all right,
trying to figure out how to do the advertisement.
Take 102, click. Cut. All right.
Okay,
when you calm down.
Okay. 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 Sorry about that. That was the wrong recording that was supposed to play.
Oh. Had me going.
Yeah. I just got logged into the website to stop it. I wish I could press a button to stop it on the phone, but I can't. So I had to hurry up and log into the website to stop it.
Oh, me, oh, my.
Anyhow.
Excuse me.
Marcus Rothkranz is supposed to autoplay, not that. This Blog Talk Radio is getting on my nerves. But anyways, it's good for advertising, and that's pretty much why I'm sticking with it. So today's topic is White Willow.
White Willow. Yep, and I'm delinquent because I don't have the book available, and yeah. 3 weeks to study, and I still didn't get it.
I got two books available, Prescriptions for Herbal Healing. I wish I had my prescriptions for natural healing, but I got to dig it out. It's in storage. I've got a bunch of books, for that matter, but so does David. And I have the Free Food and Medicine book with me today. And, of course, I have Google, who's not exactly accurate either. But I did find out one thing in my research. Before we get started on White Willow, I want to make a side note. You remember earlier last week we was talking about snake bites and snake venom and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Well, we know how to treat spider bites, but do you know how to treat snake bites?
Well, if you're talking about the method that we discussed over at Yiska's place, the same method, actually.
Okay, you tell me yours, and I'll tell you mine.
Well, you know, you get one of these tasers, and you put it over the bite, and it disrupts the poison.
Oh, well, that might work.
Yeah, it certainly can't help. But for a snake bite, basically, you want to suck the poison out as quickly as possible. But I'd give one of those electric shocks along with it just to, you know, for the stuff you didn't get. So,
well, here's how you would suck the poison out. White oak bark and plantain herb blend will suck the poison out, or at least that's what
it'll,
I found out.
Today. It'll draw it out? All right.
It'll draw it out. So then after you draw out the poison with these two herbs, then taser yourself.
Or at the same time.
No, because you won't be able to do the other procedure after you taser yourself.
Well, this is true. They actually have cattle prod is the thing that you can use.
Cattle prod.
Yeah. That's old school taser. Yeah, that's the old school taser. Oh, I'm soaking wet. If you listen to the previous podcast, I had a full bladder. I don't know if I actually mentioned that or not. But I couldn't hold it anymore. So I had to step out in order to relieve myself,
and I probably
could have stayed drier by just, you know.
He wet himself trying not to wet himself.
Pretty much.
Okay.
I got nailed by hailstones and all sorts of stuff. And the water was over my ankles. It was like, oh my gosh.
So white willow is, it says here in Marcus Rothkrenn's book, a natural form of aspirin, which I've been telling people that for years.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of my first clues to alternative health and what pharmaceutical companies do and where they get their pharmaceuticals from and how they change the herb to make the pharmaceutical, and it doesn't work. Well, it works, but it doesn't work right.
Right. What they do is they find the active ingredient that does a very specific thing, and they extract it and concentrate it and make it very much more powerful in that one thing. All right. And
right.
In that degree, they're a success. But it's not a very good philosophy, because those chemicals are surrounded by buffering chemicals. All right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, well, most every mineral, vitamin, and chemical component within different plants have partners, one or two or three or four. But generally speaking, they all have a partner. Like calcium's partner is magnesium. Chromium's partner is vanadium. Not boron. Bismuth's partner is tetracycline. That's why Pepto-Bismol, they only give you the bismuth but not the tetracycline, because they don't want to cure your ulcers. They just want to treat them. But anyway, right? So the active ingredient in aspirin. aspirin and white willow is salicylic acid, if I pronounce that right.
Yeah, you got it close enough.
Yeah. Let's see here. It says that it stops pain. The natural form of aspirin, salicylic acid, to stop pain if you make tea from the leaves or the bark. It doesn't taste very good. It tastes like aspirin.
Yeah.
It tastes exactly like aspirin. And that's how you'll know that you found the right plant or tree. Anyways, willow is more toxic to humans than any other tree as a food source, because it's not a food, it's a medicine.
Yeah.
But it's okay for some people to make tea from as a form of aspirin. It's basically small doses. It's going to do the same thing as aspirin. Now, what I read in this other book, Prescriptions for Herbal Healing, is it's not as fast acting as the chemical version, because the chemical version is, you know, like amped up aspirin.
Oh, yeah.
White willow it's not as fast acting, but it's longer lasting. So you don't have
wonder why.
Because it's got those partnering components that aspirin doesn't have. For others, it may cause stomach problems. So if you get, if you take too much of it, or if you're not compatible with it, then it'll start causing stomach problems. And so then you just stop taking it. But if you can take aspirin, you should be able to handle white willow.
Well, and then there's this. If you're suffering from headaches and things like that, and a lot of people take aspirin for headaches, your answer might be better to just drink more water. Because a lot of headaches are just caused by not flushing the poisons out of your body. Yeah. If you're drinking lots of Coke and soda and stuff like that, your toxic level may be so high that you just need to flush some of it out and your headache may go away.
Now, here's something interesting. This will help with the farm. If you take a willow branch and stick it in the water with a branch from a fruit tree, the natural acids from the willow branch will make the fruit tree branch grow roots. So it's a root stimulator.
Root. Yep.
Willow bark is... Go ahead.
Yeah, you make a tea from willow bark and it'll do the same thing. Cool it down, of course. You don't want to cook your next stick, but
of course. Willow bark is very bitter and astringent. Used for cancer. Okay, here's the side effects for white willow. It treats cancer, arthritis, rheumatism, diarrhea, it's good for fevers, sore throats, ulcers, bleeding problems, rashes, including poison ivy.
Oh my.
Jaundice, skin problems, urinary issues, blood, it's good for blood purification and toothaches, which obviously it's for pain. So its main purpose is for pain, headaches, any kind of pain, and then it got all these other benefits as well. Good side effects, not like pharmaceuticals. do not take for long periods of time, or liver damage could result. But if you're taking white willow with, say, dandelions.
I'd like to cut in at this point. You're reading off the side effects. Let's compare those to the side effects of bare aspirin.
Do you know them?
According to Google.
Okay, go ahead.
Rash. Gastrointestinal alteration. Abdominal pain.
Good for rashes.
Yeah, it's good for rashes. Aspirin causes rashes. Gastrointestinal alteration. Yeah, abdominal pain. Upset stomach.
So its side effects as far as your stomach could be the same.
Right, far as your stomach is the same. But some of the things that it's good for, the aspirin is causes. Headache, cramping. Yeah, that's a funny thing. I aspirin always gave me a headache.
But it's supposed to cure headaches.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, it's always giving me a headache. One of the side effects is a headache. Yeah, so you're taking it for a headache, it might give you one. Cramping, you know. So these are all things that you might take it in order to prevent, and it'll turn around and give it to you.
That's crazy. Or white willow won't even do that. It might give you stomach problems.
It'll give you stomach problems, and it might damage your liver over time.
If you use too much of it. But then you just take dandelion and or thistle, and that might balance out the liver issue.
Yep. More than likely.
But yeah, two potential side effects versus how many other ones was there, 10 or 20?
Okay. This has got 8 side effects, and most of them are, drowsiness. I left off drowsiness.
Oh, okay. Well, aspirin's one of the more mild pharmaceuticals you can take. Aspirin was one of the few pharmaceuticals I used to actually endorse. So, because I didn't think it had any side effects. I learned that it had a couple, but very, very little.
That's because they like to keep this stuff away from you. You know, it's it doesn't help their rep.
True that. Well, 8 side effects is also very mild compared to some of the other chemicals with 50 side effects.
Yeah, like the very common medications that they put out, that one of the side effects is sudden death. Excuse me?
Yeah. Like mineral oil, it causes SIDS.
So does vaccination.
That's true, too. Okay. In prescriptions for herbal healing, let's see here. Native Americans. Let's see here. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay, I'm going to skip that part. That's the general description. But it says, I'll read part of it. The Greek, back 2,000 years ago, the Greek used to use the willow leaves. They would mash them with a little pepper and drink with wine to treat lower back pain. So they've been using this for at least 2,000 years.
That actually makes sense.
Like aspirin, willow bark is a proven painkiller, although aspirin causes pain. But without many of the aspirin side effects, the analgesic actions of Willow are typically slower acting but longer lasting than standard aspirin products. Uses for white willow bark include fevers, colds, minor infections, acute and chronic
rheumatitis? I'm just guessing.
Rheumatic disorders. Whatever that word is. R-H-E-U-M-A-T-I-C.
I think that's rheumatism.
Rheumatic.
Or a related word.
Rheumatic. Yeah, disorders. Headaches and pain caused by inflammation. I'm going to skip part of this. I highlighted some of the stuff. Because we only got 30 minutes. Dry mouth. Okay. Oh, wait. Arthritis. It's good for arthritis. It's good for dry mouth. It's good for pain and osteoporosis.
Oh.
So if you get cotton mouth from smoking too much of whatever, take some white willow.
It helps with osteoporosis, with the pain of osteoporosis, or with helping you absorb calcium so as you don't have osteoporosis? How does it help?
It says here, reduces pain and improves functioning, improved functioning in people with osteoporosis.
Okay, so it's not really helping. I would say it's not really helping with the osteoporosis. It's just allowing you to continue to function even though your joints are going bad.
Perhaps. But it's not necessarily damaging you like, or damaging the nerves like a lot of the pharmaceutical painkillers
right.
do.
I'm just saying it's not actually helping the joint. It's not helping the bones,
right.
actually.
Kind of like MSM, where it's just a painkiller. It doesn't actually cure the
yeah.
problem.
That's the conclusion I've come to on MSM, but I don't have anything to back it up. Other than the fact that when my friends stop taking MSM, all of their pains come back and sometimes worse. Which tells me they're not really taking care of the problem. So, but, you know, pain relief is important. I mean, if you can't do nothing,
right.
pain relief helps. But
pain relief helps, and do it with something natural.
Right, but you need to find the core, you know, because you're by getting rid of the pain, you're not necessarily solving the root problem. So, you know, yeah, it's hard to function with pain, but you need to work on the root problem as well. So, you know, if you've got osteoporosis, I would work on the osteoporosis directly and not just take aspirin or willow bark.
Right, you want to take things like magnesium. So you absorb and utilize the calcium better. Take things like comfrey and gravel root and mullein. Those things will help regenerate different parts of the bones and ligaments, like. Eating shark cartilage and chicken cartilage will definitely work on the ligaments and the bones as well if you have osteoporosis.
Right.
It says here, too, that white willow improves sleep and speech. I'm not sure what speech has to do with or how it helps improve speech, but it might be because it has like vitamin B's or something in it. I don't know.
Does it have niacin?
Don't know.
Yeah, I would check and see what vitamin B complement it has, because I know vitamin B's will help you with your mental state. Like my stuttering right now. I just took some niacin that I bought today, and it's not very effective. I found yet another product that does not really contain niacin. So,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Niacin product that does not contain niacin.
Yep. Yeah, you know, that it's from one of your favorite sources of food. Best choice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, crap. Here's another side effect. It reduces sex drive.
Okay.
Willow bark does. I saw that somewhere, and now here I've seen it again. It says, chronic use of willow bark may result in diminished sexual interests.
Well, there you go.
So that also might be a side effect of aspirin. although it does not affect physical aspects of sexual performance in either men or women. So it doesn't affect your performance, but it will affect your drive. So it probably affects your testosterone or something, I'm not sure.
So it affects your desire, but not necessarily your performance.
Correct. So if you have too much drive and too much need and your partner doesn't, and you're trying to, you know, kind of balance that out for your partner's sake, then it might be good for you. But if you're trying to get your partner to catch up with you, you don't want them taking it.
Right. There you go, guys. Keep the willow bark away from your wives.
Right. No willow bark for the ladies, except for in extreme cases of an emergency.
Right.
It says, do not use if you're pregnant or nursing. Do not take in combination with aspirin. Long-term use of willow bark is not advisable. Do not give willow bark to children under 16 who has symptoms of flu, chickenpox, or any other type of viral
90 seconds
viral infection. As with aspirin, there may be some risks of developing a rare but serious ailment called Reyes syndrome, R-E-Y-E-S syndrome. Do not use willow's bark if you have
60 seconds
active gastric or something ulcers.
Gastrointestinal ulcers?
Yeah, hemophilia, asthma, or diabetes. So, we'll finish this on our freefoodandmedicine.org podcast and or Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast. So just go there to hear the rest of the story because we're almost out of time. DementedDungeonsandDragons.com, and I'm working on a new website. It'll be freefoodandmedicine.org, and we're going to have the rest of the story
10 seconds
at that location. So there we go. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Or in the next second.
For the rest of the story. Yeah, okay, so basically, Where did? Oh, I took the card out of the spot. Now I gotta find it again. But yeah, so it's good for fevers. I didn't know that. And it's not good for your sex drive. I did not know that either. I won't be taking that.
Well, or maybe you should since you don't have a girlfriend at this time.
Well, that's true. Yeah, well, I don't really have a sex drive right now, so that's not a problem. In fact, it's been so long, I feel like I'm a virgin again.
Like a virgin. Really very
right?
Virgin.
Seriously. I know I can't really say anything because there's other people who have, you know, been abstinent longer, but yeah, I'm just not used to being abstinent this long.
Well, you know, yeah.
So, if you are taking blood thinners or something or other, anti-inflammatory drugs, NSAIDs, avoid white willow.
I would note that if the rain in my background gets too noisy, let me know.
Limit your intake of alcohol and barbiturates. It's funny, I don't know what this other word is, but I know how to read barbiturates. That's a long word. Anyway, when using this herb as limit your intake of alcohol and barbiturates when using this herb, as they may risk or as they may mask symptoms of salicylate overdose. Oh, okay. And maybe,
yeah, so the alcohol would mask overtaking the symptoms of overtaking taking too much aspirin, basically.
Right. And may enhance the toxicity of the silicon from white willow.
Right.
Right. Yeah, because, yeah, there is a toxicity to the white willow. That's why you don't want to take too much of it, because it's not a food, it's a medicine. And alcohol and barbiturates will enhance the toxicity of the white willow.
Right.
And if that's the case, aspirin's probably pretty similar. I think I remember people or something saying not to drink alcohol while taking aspirin.
So no more aspirin martinis.
No more aspirin martinis. That's out. No mas.
Right.
So, yeah. Other painkillers. Let's see. You got yucca root. So you don't really need white willow as your primary source of painkiller. You got MSM. You can use that. You can actually blend, you know, white willow with MSM, yucca root, red beet. Is good for pain and inflammation. I think marshmallow is also good for pain and inflammation. What else?
Well, if marshmallow, then I wonder if hollyhocks and field mallow would be good. What about Rosa Sharon?
Probably. Rosa Sharon, I don't know. I know goats like it.
Those are all in the same family. Not as willow, but, you know, they're, you know.
Right, the mallow family.
Yeah, I just, you know, if mallow helps, I'm curious if some of its relatives help. There's another one that's a decorative flower that people grow other than hollyhock. Hollyhocks is the tall one, but there's a shorter one that's got very large flowers, and I can't remember its name right now, but it's also in the same family.
Poppies are good for pain, too.
Different family, though, but yeah. And a different type of pain.
Right.
So.
They say that marijuana is good for pain, but I think it's more, it's good for nausea.
Yeah, well, it helps increase appetite.
Right.
You know. So if you got an elderly person who's not eating because they have no appetite, you know.
Slip them some space brownies.
Make them some space brownies. But we only recommend that for states that have legalized it. We don't want anybody going to jail just because they're trying to make their old folks healthy.
Right.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If
what
you live in a country that's oppressive on those things, you know, then you know, you better hold off and find another solution. So.
Right. But whatever you do, don't overthrow your tyrannical government.
Well,
until you listen to scrapgovscrap.com.
Yeah, I could go into a tirade. I will refrain from it because we're here talking about food and medicine.
God's medicine.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Uncle Sam's medicine. So anyways, yeah, so pain and inflammation. There were some other herbs we were reading about recently that's good for pain and inflammation as well, but I can't remember what they were. But yeah, check out Marcus Rothgren's book at Free Food and, or called Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. And also don't forget to check out Prescriptions for Natural Healing and Prescriptions for Herbal Healing. Those two books have been my Bibles for the last 20-some years.
Right.
Around 1996. Yeah, before my youngest was born. He was born in 97. So around 96 is when I got the prescriptions for natural healing. And that's just been, like I said, my Bible forever. And now the Marcus Rothkranz book, Free Food and Medicine book, is my new favorite as well. But there's a lot of other good books out there, too. Any suggestions?
For books? Yeah, if I wasn't sitting in the dark, I'd probably have a couple of books I'd give titles for. There's that field guide that I use to go out and find stuff to eat. I wish I could even remember the author's name. giving his nickname probably wouldn't help.
That's okay. We'll have it on a future podcast.
Right.
So that's your excuse to listen to one of our future podcasts.
Wildman Brillman, I think, was his nickname. I'm not sure on that, though.
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very close at the very least, and I might be far enough away that even Google won't find it. So I'm sorry if that's the case. Here's one. The Amish like this series in our area. It's Be Your Own Doctor by Rachel Weaver.
That sounds familiar.
Well, yeah, it's they have four books over in at the Amish store, and I've bought three of them so far. I still got to pick up the fourth one.
Oh, okay. The Amish health food store?
No, the Amish junk food store. the one at the corner of 131, 123, and 13. It's just north of the cutting edge.
Oh, okay. Not Shady Side, but that other one on the corner.
Yeah, it's on the other end. It's close. It's the one closest to Humansville.
Right on.
Yeah, one of those scratch and dent food stores. You know, they get the factory reject stuff. You know, and they sell it at discount. And it's basically a bunch of junk food. But in one corner, they've got this this display set up with this one author's books, you know, and apparently they sell them pretty quickly. So otherwise they wouldn't be stocking up on them constantly. So, you know, that, or they're very good about coming out and randomizing the size of the book stacks, you know, just to make it look like they're moving. Good salesmanship on their part, I guess. But, yeah. Yeah, the Amish are...
Headache. H2O.
Yes. And you can get a headache from drinking too much water. But that's actually pretty difficult to pull off. It's easy for runners to pull it off. Okay, so my only warning on water intake is don't ignore your bladder. And this is two warnings. Take it easy if you're overheated and you're running around a lot. Take it easy, because when you start cooling off and slowing down, a lot of runners, they get afraid of dehydration, and it's a legitimate thing to be afraid of, all right? But they drink so much water when they're running, and their body's using it and circulating it around and cooling and stuff like that. When they finally slow down and rest, all that water goes to their brain, and they end up getting a heart attack because their brain swells too much for the brain pan and for their skull. You know, it results in their heart stopping, you know, and it's, but other than that, I mean, if you're already relaxing, it's a little difficult for you to drink too much water unless you're doing something stupid, like seeing how much water you can drink without peeing, which, was fatal on a radio program that, they were having a contest. That was one of the more famous cases of somebody not doing it. Yeah. Just pee, but drink lots of water. What's the formula? Go weigh yourself on the scale. Take the note of how many pounds you weigh. Divide that by two. And drink that many ounces of water a day minimum.
Right.
You know. And then, of course, if you're out sweating and whatever, drink some more. And if you drink a cup of coffee, you should probably drink a cup or two of water to chase it.
At that, I should have been watching my text messages. One of our listeners has been texting me some feedback to our podcast on...
Ouch!
Well, it's good. Except for, well, they were laughing at me mispronouncing some of the words.
Well, this is why you're supposed to study ahead of time, and that's you're better than me because you at least had your resources up and ready to go, so you did some studying.
They said to give willow bark to sex offenders.
Oh my, I held my tongue on that one.
So there you go.
You sure that's not the text I sent you? No. Yeah, it wasn't me.
But yeah, dehydration will also cause pain and inflammation.
Well, yeah, dehydration. Yeah, I mean, if you're tired a lot and sick, you know, hydrating properly is probably one of the first things you should go about. And that basic formula for how much water you should drink. We had a friend who used to be involved in health and stuff like that. And I will refrain from naming him because whatever. But one of the formulas he gave is basically take everything you drink during the day, pour it into a dish pan. Would you wash your dishes in it?
Right.
All right. You know, and if the answer is no, then you're drinking too much stuff that's, you know, inappropriate. Because, you know, one of the things water does is it flushes out toxins and poisons you know, a lot of times your headaches are just that. You're toxic. You've got too much poison in you. Too much uric acid in your bloodstream. Too much whatever, you know. And it just needs to be flushed out. And so what if you have to go pee every 30 minutes? Okay? You know, if your boss doesn't let you do that, then it might be time to go find another job, you know. And I'll tell you from experience, when I first started drinking water, I had to go pee every half hour, every hour. And it was annoying because I worked for the post office. you know, but that eventually slacks off. Once you got all the toxins out of your body, you know, drinking that much water every day, you can hold it. You know, your bladder doesn't go nuts on you after you've gotten the toxins out. You know, your kidneys function better when they have water to push through them so that they can get the toxins out, you know. That's the function of your kidneys, and they don't function well if you don't provide them with enough water, you know. So you may think that the water is making your bladder fill up, but really the truth is it's all the toxins you got that's doing it, and the water just helps. So.
Water helps.
Yep.
Watermelon might help too.
Let's see now. I don't know. Well, okay. Here's a growing tip for willow. If you want to have willow around. Willow, as you noted earlier, if you make if you put willow branches in with your tree branches that you want to sprout, it helps them root. Willow itself, if you were cut down a willow tree, if you have a friend that cut down a willow tree, and you take one of those logs and you just put it on the dirt, and the dirt's wet enough, it will take root and grow a tree.
Yeah. So will Hedge.
Yeah, but I'm just, well, yeah, Hedge not quite so much, but we did observe that we had a 2-year-old Hedge branch that sprouted because we put it down in the mud. it'd been off the tree for 2 years. The bark hadn't started peeling on it yet, but it was still viable enough that it put out fresh branches. I don't know if it put out roots, but it put out fresh branches.
If it put out branches, it will put out roots.
Yeah. Well, willow more so. People have buried willow logs and had trees come up as a result. So
don't put those in your hula culture unless you want them to grow.
Right. But, you know, hey, if you want to have a willow tree available, you know, that's one way to get one. If you know if somebody has a willow tree, just take some of the fresh green limbs, stick them in sand, and make sure they're watered. And they should take root, and you should be able to plant those and have yourself a good source of willow.
Oh, right, because if willow is a root stimulator, it'll root itself.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Just saying. It's an easy one to add to your garden.
Right.
So, you know, that's part of the definition of free food and medicine. It's easy.
Easier than you think.
Yeah. Yeah, easy enough that you may regret having done it, but, you know, hey, better to have too much than none at all.
So, we should have at least one willow tree on the property.
And I know where we can get some, but I don't know if it's white willow.
Oh, yeah, it must be white.
Yeah, so we'll have to do a little research.
Yeah. Anything else to add?
Only that we have 8 more minutes to fill.
We don't have to. Okay, so check out Marcus Rothkranz at freefoodandmedicine.com, or if you want to give me credit, go to freefoodandmedicine.net, and that'll give me credit. Go to freefoodandmedicine.org to find our blog, our video site that I'm going to create, our future podcast. By the time you hear this, it'll be past podcast. And our Discord and whatever else we decide to create. And I picked the .org because it's free food and medicine. So we don't charge for it. We're not charging for anything there. But, you know, we do accept donations. Because even though we're offering education on free food and medicine, it's not necessarily free for us to do that. So if you have a little extra that you can send our way, we would appreciate it, and it helps us help you and helps us help other people who can't afford it.
Right. I mean, we love our fellow man, but it'd be nice if our fellow man also loved our fellow man and helped us out.
Right. So. And we're not going to use fear, force, and violence in order to tax you and force the money out of you like Uncle Sam does.
Door-to-door podcast support. Boom, 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 boom. Support our podcast now. Give us money.
Right?
Yeah, we're not going to do it.
Not going to do it. Faith, hope, and charity.
Faith, hope, and charity.
So there you go. All right, we'll talk to you next week, hopefully, maybe.
Hopefully, maybe. Yeah, I hope I'm still here.
Hopefully, maybe. Yeah. Well,
there's supposed to be tornadoes and hailstorms tonight.
Right. Go jump in a barrel.
A barrel full of water?
Yeah. Yeah, the last 2 weeks we skipped our podcast, so we may not be here next week. But we'll be here maybe, you know, next week or the week after that or the week after that. So if we
miss
one,
we skipped
apologize.
Two in a row. Yeah, we skipped two in a row.
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was just tired and disgruntled, and I was just really not in the mood. And then last week, we were busy.
We were busy doing an important powwow meeting in, what was that area?
Lebanon.
Yep.
We're doing an important powwow with another community who is basically doing the same thing or similar things to what we're doing, promoting, you know, freedoms, liberties, health, nutrition, all that good stuff. So you can find out more about them on our website at daviddavidanddavid.com. Got them under partners, a link in a drop-down menu under community or something like that. But I'll have more about them on the website soon because we're basically kind of sort of doing a merger and we're going to work together as one. United we stand, divided we fall. And that's our...
Pretty much.
That's what we're doing. So we're going to be joining forces and making some good things happen.
So does that mean we're going to be fascists?
I don't know.
All right, quick explanation for people who don't understand the question. The fascia...
to freedom.
Yeah, the fascia is basically a bundle of sticks held together by binding. You know, one stick can be easily broken, but the symbol that the fascists often use is an axe surrounded by a bundle of sticks all bound together, because a bundle of sticks is harder to break than a single stick. All right, and they often go authoritarian with it, but the truth is, we're supposed to organize in groups. And the thing is, though, we're supposed to do it where the individual is in charge. And people don't understand that because, you know, how can you have a bunch of chiefs in charge? But that's pretty much how God called for us to do it. You're supposed to maintain all of your rights. And then by choice, get together with your neighbors who are to maintain all their rights and not boss them around, but work with each other to achieve common goals, namely that
right.
of maintaining each other's freedom. So, and you know, you have to get together to do that. You got no choice. So
teamwork makes the dream work.
Yes. Yep.
So, yeah, so check us out. If we miss a week, we apologize. We'll be back the week after, more than likely. And feel free to call in. The call-in information will be on the .org, freefoodandmedicine.org. So long.
Good night.
Good night.